I'm going to have a stand up. Oh, that's my phone.
I'm sorry.
See, you leave a phone down. Yeah, it looks good, right? It has a bike on the cover. If you are in the southeast right now, southeastern United States, remain standing. Good, that's a geography check. No, we're in the southeast, aren't we, in New Orleans? Oh, come on. In the southeast. All right. If you live in the southeastern U.S., remain standing. Wow, really? Oh, my gosh. I should have asked a different question. And if you live in Georgia, look at that. So I'm standing. That's me. And I live in Atlanta. Hopefully that warms you up a little bit. If you need to get up, I encourage you to. So I'm Nisha Bochway. I'm a faculty member in planning at Georgia Tech. I do a lot of work in health, and I'm going to be presenting my work on the neighborhood quality of life and health rankings. That's grown out of a multidisciplinary partnership with folks at Georgia Tech in the city of Atlanta, with the Georgia Department of Public Health and a host of other partners. I have no relationships to disclose. So just a few learning objectives. Just thinking about planning's mandate to promote public health, links between planning and public health. I'll breeze through that pretty quickly. Integration of planning and public health data is really the focus of what we're doing, and trying to answer two questions. What are the overlaps between quality of life and health, and what are some of the characteristics of places that provide both of these things? And so if you just focus on the yellow, you'll see that looking at the base court ruling that helped to establish the police power for planning, Euclid versus Ambler, health, safety, and general welfare was the basis on which planners are directed to act. The AICP, American Institute of Certified Planners, focuses on planners serving the public interest with compassion for the welfare of all people. The American Planning Association Policy Guide also encourages this. But planners really don't have a good sense of how to integrate this work with the quality of life or place-based data, nor do we have access to some of the lower-level data that would help us do this in an effective way. We know what the chronic disease burden in the U.S. looks like. This is perhaps review for us. Chronic diseases are among the most common, costly, and preventable of all U.S. health problems in the U.S. We know the data on physical inactivity and major risk factors as being major risk factors for chronic disease, and some motor vehicle data that we're all very familiar with. And then when we look at obesity prevalence by state, we know these maps from the CDC, that just two stats that are quite striking. One in every three adults is obese, and almost one in five youth are obese. And then more than a third of all adults do not meet the recommendation for aerobic physical activity based on the 2008 physical activity guidelines for Americans. And so when we think about health in the built environment, I often go to the health impact pyramid that Dr. Frieden, the director of the CDC, published in, I think, 2010. And he talks about, at the top of the pyramid, the interventions typically are counseling and education and clinical interventions. But at the base of the pyramid, which is where planners and those who are designing the built environment typically operate, and that's changing the context to make the individual's default decisions healthy decisions, and then socioeconomic factors. And that's where we see more of a population-level impact. And then if we look at some of the work that comes out of the World Health Organization, but also the Institute of Medicine, we know that the biggest contributor to the determinants of health come from the social social conditions, much of what we've been talking about here. So where do we find some of this health data? This is just one example that we're all very familiar with, county health rankings. But as we know, if we look at a county, we may have areas, neighborhoods, where you have very good health outcomes, and then other areas, neighborhoods, that have very poor health outcomes. And so how do we target interventions when we're working at such a high, large scale? We have some examples from across the country. University of Wisconsin leads the county health rankings. There are two others, the STAR Community Index and the Community Health Status Indicators that operate at the county scale. But then there are community-level indicators, including those in New York, Detroit, LA, San Francisco, Seattle, King County, that really are great resources. But when you look at these, they really have primarily health data and don't do the integration in the same portal for much of the quality of life data. And so what we've tried to do is provide both in the same space. Why neighborhood indicators? Well, we know that health and well-being happen at the neighborhood level. That's typically our where we move is through our neighborhood or through another neighborhood that may leapfrog neighborhoods. And so if we look at neighborhoods, then we can understand the impact of those neighborhoods where we work and sleep or shop. There's wide interest and yet limited resources among governments, nonprofits, and residents. Organizations in this area. This allows us to track conditions to enable comparisons and longitudinal trends, measurement to support evidence-based decision-making. I don't think I need to convince you anymore. And so in Atlanta, what we've done is that we've focused on the neighborhood planning unit. So we may not know the census tract we live in. We may not really even know the neighborhood planning unit we live in, but we know that we live on the east side of town or the west side of town. We can generally pick out where along this map we may live. I know I live in Neighborhood Planning Unit O, for example, that's composed of three or four neighborhoods. And so in the online portal that we have, you can actually type in your address, you can type in your neighborhood, it'll tell you what neighborhood planning unit you belong to and what your neighborhood is. It also gives you a fact sheet on your neighborhood. So to develop this indicator, which is really a ranking system, we're using geographic information systems, coding the responses from the City of Atlanta Comprehensive Development Plan survey to weight the data on quality of life, and then controlling for socioeconomic factors to evaluate health and quality of life of NPUs. Yeah. So just think we're in church, all right? So if you need to say amen, we'll all say amen. So we have three indicators. One is this socioeconomic conditions indicator that includes education, poverty, income, and employment. And you know, after I made this map, and as a planner, I should know better to use red. But red indicates the low socioeconomic condition neighborhoods. I have other maps that are different colors. I just couldn't put it in this presentation. But you can see that there's this real division in Atlanta for the low SEC communities. Buckhead, many of you may know Buckhead, Phipps, Lenox, shopping, really expensive. That's up in neighborhood planning units C and B to orient you. And then the airport is actually down in NPUX, the little island outside of Atlanta. So what are our neighborhood quality of life indicators? They include amenities, where we're looking at green space access and retail mix, economy, and that's our employment to labor force ratio, housing, not just foreclosure or vacancy, but home affordability and rent affordability. Public safety includes violent crime, property crime, and traffic-related accidents, and then transportation focuses on mean travel time to work and transit access. And all of this is available online, and if you could hold up your handout, there's a handout in the back if anyone wants to take that with you. So having all of that data, we didn't want to just weight it on a one-to-one basis, right? We wanted to really compare the perceptions and the lived experiences of folks in Atlanta to the objective measures. And so based on the Comprehensive Development Plan survey that the planners in the City of Atlanta completed, I think it was 2011, we coded those responses, and based on high, medium, and low SEC categories, we can see based on what they like about their community, the high SEC, they're focusing on tree canopy and proximity to amenities, walkability in the medium, and then location and proximity to work for the low SEC neighborhoods. When we ask when we analyze the question, what do you dislike about your community, you can see the responses. It's interesting that the high SEC say that they don't like public transit and traffic. So, you know, we want to get to places pretty quickly, and this isn't working for us. Safety is also a concern there. It's high on the list for medium, as is code enforcement. And then for the low SEC categories, they're looking at vacant properties and code enforcement. And you can see that these are organized, at least based on how we coded the data, on recreation versus utilitarian purposes for high, medium, and then low. And then for what you dislike, we really think that the focus here is on mobility for high, and then for medium and low, really focusing around safety. Thank you. And so we weighted the results based on the Comprehensive Development Plan survey, the rankings there, and then lined them up to our indicators. And so here are just a few examples. This is the dashboard. If you log on to the website, you can type in your address or your neighborhood here. It'll pop up a little dot. This is based on Google Maps, so it's pretty easy to use. And then you want to have the lightest color possible. That's your higher ranking neighborhood. So based on this is transportation, travel times, and transit access, you can see that travel times in the high SEC neighborhoods, which are basically in this general area, are pretty low, although that's a pretty that's an area that they said in their survey that they actually emphasized. And then one other thing I'll highlight here is that when you compare transportation to quality of life, you can see that the low SEC neighborhoods are in the bottom to middle generally, and then the high SEC gather at the top based on the rankings again. You can also use this drop-down menu. This is where you can organize based on SEC, and then the specific neighborhood planning units can also be selected here, and there's a description of what we're looking at. So it's easy for community members to understand. And then the last thing I'll highlight is that you can actually download the entire data set. So if you want to do your own analysis, which a number of our students and partners have done, it's all available there, and it's exportable into any most formats. This is parks. So if you remember, this is transportation. Here's what our park access looks like. Midtown is generally in this area. And so here, you really want park access to, you want the highest park access, so you want the darker color. And so this is where we have Piedmont Park. The Atlanta Beltline is circling the city generally in this area. And so we've actually built out the East Side Trail, which is why you see darker colors on this side. And so this allows us to see, if I live in a neighborhood planning unit O, I get a really good sense of where I stand relative to the other neighborhoods, and then based on the actual objective data, I can then lobby my council person and so on how to act. So here's kind of a general look at the rankings organized by the SECs, but let's look at health. And then you can see overall the rankings are there. So let's look at health. So the health indicators are nutrition. This is percent with good food access, so it follows typically pretty much the USDA approach to measuring food access for Atlanta. Healthy food access for us is an average of 9/10 of a mile from any resident. It's not the standard mile, and we want to be able to calculate this based on the context, to fit the context of the place we're operating in. We use walk score, but a higher level of walk score analysis for walkability, so we can use this in other locations. And you can see morbidity and mortality. These are associated with obesity and obesity-related diseases. So here's low food access as an example. You can see that, remember that the red map where we had kind of that swath going through Atlanta down this way, that pretty much mirrors in many respects low food access for this community. And the chart, I think, says it quite clearly what food access is across these neighborhood planning units. And then for walkability, the northeastern section and this eastern section of the city of Atlanta is really walkable, really great neighborhoods. But you can see there are significant disparities as we work on the west side and the southeast. And this neighborhood really doesn't want to be walkable. That's kind of where Usher and a bunch of other folks live. So they have vehicles they can get around in. So here's our overall health ranking. And given the time, I wanted to show you some other data that I have So we have specific attributes for the neighborhoods. So this is actually one of the high SCC neighborhoods. So you can see that walkability in this area is pretty high. Good amenities, nutrition, public safety, and transportation. Downtown, this is another area where there's an overlap between quality of high quality of life and health. So good transportation amenities, jobs to labor ratio, so with our economy measure and walkability. And then the Atlanta University Center in the low SCC category, really the only two areas that ranked highly were amenities and nutrition. And so this allows us to target interventions to know where the resources need to be directed. And so given concerns as a resident, what do I do? How do I improve my neighborhood? Well, we've gone through a number of best practices and come up with resources by role. So I'm a resident, I'm a public health official, I'm an urban planner, I'm a grandma, I'm a principal, what can I do? Resources by the neighborhood planning unit. So my neighborhood planning unit ranked low in these areas, and these are the things that would be relevant to my specific neighborhood planning unit. And then resources by indicator, and those indicators are selected here. And so talking about investment, we wanted to get a sense of over the last 10 years in the city of Atlanta, where has the investment dollars gone and how does that compare to the index that we've put together. And so we have, based on the Capital Improvement Project database in the city of Atlanta for the last 10 years, 260 completed projects, 141 were canceled and removed, and 20 are active. So based on the 260, we came up with these different categories that now the city of Atlanta is using in categorizing their CIP funding. And we can see that based on the NPUs that are listed on the bottom, and sorry, they're not coded for you, that downtown, that's Neighborhood Planning Unit E, has received quite a lot of funding. M is Midtown, and that's a lot of sidewalk improvement that's been happening there. And then Neighborhood Planning Unit Z, and that's been a fair amount of utility work. But when we compare this to the SCC categories, where most of the need really exists in quality of life and health, it doesn't line up. And I don't know that I have that in here. The dollars actually follow Peachtree Street in many instances. And so I think I'm out of time, but this is a just screenshot of what the website looks like. We're on Twitter, and we encourage you to take a look, and we look forward to partnering, supporting any efforts that that may be of interest. Thank you. So the project started with that comprehensive development plan survey and the Georgia Tech coding it for the city, and then us asking the city, well, how does this compare to the objective measures in the city of Atlanta? And they didn't know. So we developed really a skeleton of what you see here, shared it with the city, shared it with a number of the neighborhood planning unit presidents, and the neighborhood planning units are significant because that's where decision-making happens and community engagement happens in the city of Atlanta. And they said, we need to understand this better. Can you make this so so we, without the PhDs and MPHs, can actually understand it? And so we've done a lot of training with the neighborhood planning units, with Westside Community Alliance, and a host of others. And it's a really great resource. A lot of city councilors use this to justify decisions that they're making. Hopefully they're using it ethically. Thank you for your question. Oh, So our health data actually comes from the Georgia Department of Public Health, the mortality and morbidity data, and that took, as many of you may have experienced, at least a year of multiple requests and multiple scales. So, of course, we started at the block group scale and just kept going up and up until they were willing to give us the data in a format, the format that we have. The nutrition and physical activity is just based on NAICS codes is nutrition, and then we did the calculation. NAICS codes are the business codes that tell you if a business is a grocery store, a candy shop, a butcher shop, and so that's all available online. And then we know walkability. The quality of life data is all either the City of Atlanta Police and a host of others, and all of that is listed under our data and methods. If you click on data and methods on the website, there are calculations there so you can see how we actually came up with the scoring and so on. Ben, he's one of my students. And he's graduating, and so if anyone has a position for an amazing postdoc, please speak to him afterwards. Yes, we would love to track how it's used and to follow up those with those community groups to see how they're actually using it, follow up with the city councilors to see if decisions were actually made in the ways that they'd hoped based on the use of the data and use of the portal. We, at this point, just don't have the capacity to do that, but evaluation is critical for this kind of work. We were recently awarded a CDC grant, the Partnerships to Improve Community Health, and so evaluation is a part of that grant. So we'll be building this system out for 14 cities across Fulton County, and so we will be evaluating that. But I don't know at this point if we're looking at those impact measures, but I'll make a note of it and see if we can include that in the work that the evaluators are doing. Thank you, Ben. There's a question here and then in the back.
So how was it funded and how
was it maintained? So it was funded in the first year out of goodwill and colleagues and students interested in the topic. In the second year, we got a little bit of funding from the CDC, meaning like $10,000, very little. And so we built this with really that much. It's really been a labor of love and lots of interest. The CIP funding data was a student's option paper, so her master's paper that she just built on the work that we did here. The food access measurements was another student's option paper, and so we meet weekly and go through this, and it's been a real labor of love. So that, great lesson, right? That led to a $3 million grant through the CDC to be able to build this out for 14 cities. So you know, persevere. Great. Other questions? Great, thank you. Thank you. And if I can say one other thing, when we think about health impact assessment as a tool, you know, we've always been talking about incorporating health and environmental impact assessments, but, you know, if you look at an EIA or an EIS, health really isn't specifically addressed, and if it is, it's very cursory. And so health impact assessment as a tool, I think, is another great resource that planners and public health officials can really partner on to truly look at the health that is being impacted by policies, programs, and projects in a way that environmental impact assessments really just aren't equipped to address for a number of reasons. And so this partnership really is critical in having local level neighborhood scale data is critical and something that many people are really working on. So thank you for your attention.